Okay, so as what you had said, reminds me, what you had said, Josh, reminds me of the following, that there's a beautiful machlokis between, one of the beautiful machlokis between the Hasidim and Misnagdim is the approach to song. Particularly Rav Baruch Berz Zatzal used to be makbid that songs should always be to words. Rav Baruch Berz was, it's not so well known, that Rav Baruch Berz was a mechaber of nigunim. That's right, yeah. So, and one of them actually, my wife's family, they sang for years and years. They didn't know it was Rav Baruch Berz nigun. But on the other hand, they say from the Baal HaTanya that the Baal HaTanya said that it's a higher madriga to sing a nigun without words. And that's, if you'll notice, Hasidim tend to sing ayayay, and in Ashkenaz, they'll, one afkamin is kelodon, right? If you go to Nusach Svar, they'll do, those of us who are used to singing the words, it's very strange that they stop and they start and they stop and start. So the Baal HaTanya explained his shita, that his shita was based on the fact that the nigunim are really, nigun shira is the language of malachim. And so we use words, but if we want to tap into the koach of malachim, that's even a higher madrega. Nigun without words is a higher madrega. So I heard that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said this over, and then he said, and I say a nigun without the nigun, that's the highest madrega. So that's a very, very deep idea. In other words, what he's saying, what Rav Aaron Zatzal was saying that, of course, it's all the expression of the neshama, but a person who's so in touch with his neshama that he doesn't even need language at all, so that's the highest madriga. If that's what's going on in the Litvisha world, then they're in good shape. I'm just not sure if that's what's really going on. But anyhow, so that is in reference to what you said. B'siyata d'shmaya, today is the first time in history we're doing two shiurim. We will be wrapping up Hagolas Kalim, Tahilchas Taruvas, number 14, if I'm not mistaken. And what we're going to be doing is a couple more points in the beginning of Siman Kuf Hei that relates to Kavush, but not Kavush of regular food, but Kavush of Adavar Harif. And also, just make sure that you know what Davar Shabiminyan is, because we never touched on that. That'll be 13. And B'siyata D'shmaya, Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as we get up to Shabbos Mevarchim, we're going to start Hagolas Kalim with Hilchas Pesach. So let's, I told the Chevra to bring their booklet from last week. So let's take a look at a diyun in the beginning of Siman Kuf Hei in regards to the halachos of Kavush. Of course, last time what we had learned was that there are different shitas rishonim of whether Kavush is kimavushal on all foods, or it could very well be the shita of Rashi was that it's only bechomets, it's only by vinegar. But lahalacha, we don't pass in that way. Another diyun we spoke about, and it applies to all foods. Another discussion was how long does kavush take place. Some say the Ritzpah's sheet is that after 3 days. But here again, we go to Chumrah, and it's 24 hours. So after having this discussion, the Beis Yosef then throws into the mix a Chumrah of Davar Charif. So it's at the end of Sif Katan Aleph, in the Beis Yosef, Kuf Hei Aleph, kavush bitzir. If you soak in tzir, Sir was is brine. So Kasava Rosh, the Shiuri Havikilu Nosal Yara Arkadeshir Siach, the Yaskil Lichbosh, the Chomet, Shaat Shishik Shir Ze, Ein Oser Elkade Klipa. So the amount of time that it takes to cook on a fire. In other words, they viewed Tsir, at least when it comes to Tsir, as fire itself. So that is a very quick period of time. We're going to see that it ranges three different shitas of the poskim, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, or 18 minutes. And we'll discuss in terms of how we paskin. So immediately when we take a look in Siman Kuf Hei in the Shulchan Aruch, we have this halacha. After the Ramah, Mamish, where we left off last time, by the way, in terms of Safek, there is a beautiful Taz and in Sif Katan Gimel. And a Shev Shmaita that's in your Mar Mekomos, but we didn't get to it in Shir. farfallen, as they say in Yiddish. We have to keep on moving. It would be my pleasure to discuss it during Seder. So after that Ramah, the Mechaber continues, and he says, V'im hu kavush besoch tzir, o besoch chometz, if you soak something inside brine or vinegar, imsha kadesh yitznenu al arvi arsiach v'yaschil ispashel hareu kimavusho, pachas mishir zelo nesar el kadei klipa. So we have the shear of klipa. If it's less than that period of time, but if it's more than either 6, 10, or 11 minutes, which is a very short period of time, so then in such a case, you have to be concerned about blia. So what's the classic case that the Mechaber is talking about? The classic case of the Mechaber would be that you have a piece of chicken sitting in brine with a piece of cheese. We've learned that if you have cheese and meat touching each other, there's one set of halachas that we learned in Siman Sadi Aleph in terms of Kedei Klipa and Kedei Netila. And if it's fatty, we had the Chumrah of the Ramah. Now we have a totally new set of rules when they're soaking. So if it was sitting in water, it's 24 hours. If they're sitting in this tzir or chometz, so then it's a much shorter period of time. You should be aware that the Shach has an arichos over here in Sifkat and Beis, and he says that if you take a look, the Rush himself is Soser Mishnaso. The Rush, who is the source, to say that this applies to vinegar. Brine, that's muskan. But when it comes to chometz, vinegar, that itself, the Shach points out, there are stiras within the Rush. And not only is there stiras in the Rush, he points to Simin Kuf Dalet Sif Aleph, that there we spoke about chometz, and there we weren't talking about chometz for 18 minutes. We're talking about chometz for 24 hours when it came to the achbar. So the Shach says that this sheet is wrong, and really, in his Shulchan Aruch, it would say, v'im u'kavish betoch tzir, but would not say chometz. So that's an important sheet that you should be aware of, that when it comes to the parameters, is vinegar included in this? That is a big machlokas. The Gra also makes this point in Sifkat and Tes. At the end of the day, though, as far as how we paskin, so if you take a look in your booklet in the Chachmas Adam Nun Ches Gimel, the Chachmas Adam essentially comes out like the more stringent opinion. If you take a look in the Chachmas Adam Nun Ches Gimel, Babedvar Memur and Belach, when do we say you have 24 hours for Kovish? That's Ein Charif Al Kovish Toch Tzir O Bechometz Chazak. So he says. But interestingly, the Chachmas Adam says only strong vinegar, not a lighter vinegar. And Shah Kadesh Yitneno Alar, so then in such a case, the halacha is that one would have to be machmir. Okay, so bottom line is, halacha lemaisa, you have vinegar or any type of brine, so then from 6 minutes and on, there is going to be a shaila in terms of transferring tam. Ad kidei kach. The Chachmas Adam also points out that the Krasi Uplasi, he said, almost got confused in the sugya, that he took it so literally that Meliach is Keroseach and that Kovush is Kemavushal, that he thought you might be over an Isur Do Raisa of cooking on Shabbos. In other words, Ad Kedei Kach, that this Chazal looked at it as being an intense process of heating. So in such a case, the Chachmas Adam points out, we don't go that far, that we say Mamish, and that will get in Mirtz Hashem next year, in terms of discussing what are the parameters of Bishul. Is it just a question of Tam, or does it need some level of Or? I'll just leave you with this, that Maravi Rabbi Rav Nevensal is of the opinion, which is already, you'll see next year, Mirtz Hashem, for those who are doing Shabbos, that's the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that to be considered Bishul, you need fire. If you don't have fire, in such a case, that would not qualify as Bishul. But there is the Shita of the Rebbe of Yonason, who held that the halacha is that it would qualify as Bishul. Another Shita that also weighs in on this question, whether it includes vinegar, is the Aruch HaShulchan. So if you take a look in Sifkatan, Yud Aleph in the Aruch HaShulchan in your booklet, he differentiates between whether it's something strong versus something that's weak. And he first, though, asks on the position, the lenient position of the Shach, that in Maestros, in the end of the first Perek, there seems to be a Mishnah that equates chometz to tzir. But he says, we need to talk about only chometz that's chazak. And he says, our chometz, our vinegar, it doesn't qualify as something that's strong. Our vinegar that we put into, let's say, coleslaw or something like that, the Aruch HaShulchan says is not going to qualify as strong vinegar, and you could be lenient. This comes up, where we can't ignore Pesach. This comes up in Hilchos Pesach in a fascinating tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer. The Tzitz Eliezer in booklet number 13, of course, in the last booklet that we have, the Tzitz Eliezer, which chelik is it in? I'd like to give the Maror Mekomos. In chelik, chelik tezvav already, the Tzitz Eliezer, simin chavav. So simin chavav we have photocopied, was asked the following shaila. He was asked that they needed to rinse the romaine lettuce. Romaine lettuce has created a lot of interesting halachic phenomena. Of course, in the previous shiurim we discussed that the way in which they found bugs in the water of New York was that they were cleaning the lettuce, the lettuce from Gush Kativ, and they found bugs, and they said, no. The people in Gush Kativ said, there's no way that it's from us, but rather you have to check the water. And that's how they found that there was bugs in the water in New York City. So another fascinating shiur in regards to clean romaine lettuce is that Tzitz Eliezer was asked if they rub vinegar on the romaine lettuce to get rid of this, the Tzitz Eliezer's tshuva, Tavshin Mem Aleph, I think was right around the time that they were just figuring out how to do hydroponics here in Eretz Yisrael. They were doing a lot better things in Gush Kativ at that time than now. There were bugs still in most of the romaine lettuce. So what Rav Voldenberg was asked, we know that just like there's a din, we have this in Ketzam Mevarach, in Tam Matzah, there's also a din of Tam Marar. So what did we learn? We learned that Yom Vashel, that you have a din of Chom, that Choref, Adavar Charif, that Kavush has a din of, as if you're cooking. So if you rub the romaine lettuce to get off the bugs with this vinegar, would it have a din as if you're being Mevashel? So the Tzitz Eliezer makes 2 points. He says, first of all, he says, you're doing it for a short amount of period of time. And what did we learn? That if it's the less than the shear of Bishul, so it's only Kedei Klipa, so he says, then that would not remove the Tam Matzah, that's Aleph. And secondly, he says, he thinks the Aruch HaShulchan is right, that the din of Chometz doesn't apply to our vinegar. So these are this is a fascinating application to this question. Another very, very important diyun that the Prima Gada makes reference to, but is discussed in more detail in Simen Samachtes, not by us, is that the Prima Gada points out in Dibur HaMaschil, in Mishpat Zav, Sifkatan Aleph, he speaks about the Kavush Kishir Shiarseach B'dvarim Charifim Kamot Sir V'chometz Bikli. He says, what about the halacha of, we've been discussing up until now, if you're soaking things in a innate side of a davar charif, meat and milk, pork and kosher meat. What happens, or for that matter, you had non-kosher meat in brine, and then it's going to make the utensil treif. What about the inverse? And this, Rabosai, comes up every Shabbos meal. What about the inverse? Well, it depends on how machmer you are on what's considered a davar charif. But what happens if you have a davar charif sitting, let's not talk about a Shabbos meal yet, let's talk about a non-kosher dish. You have a davar charif sitting in a non-kosher dish. So do we say that just like the davar charif has the ability to affect the dish, it'll be maflid inside, does it have the ability to pull out from the dish the iser as well? Will if you have chometz sitting in a treif kli, will it automatically assume the identity of that kli? And that is a machlokas. And if you take a look, the Mishpatos Gov gives you the Maror Mekomos that the Taz and the Shach are both lenient. Mavur de lahafle mikli ein mafle kedei shiarsiach. It doesn't have that heat potency to be able to heat up the kli to the point that the kli is going to kick out any iser or tam that's inside. However, the Magen Avram does seem to disagree. In Taf Mem Zayin, Sif Tezvav, the Magen Avram is of the opinion that it does. And the nafka mina, as I added into the Maror Mekomos, is our dips. If you have dips that, if you're machmir and say that vinegar is enough to be considered a davar harif, again, I could hear a posik would say that it doesn't, but for those who say that our vinegar does have the koyach of a davar harif, so then in such a case, then we would have a following problem, that if you used a dip and you put it in a fleshik dish, and remember, also, if we're talking about a davar harif, maybe even if it's an eina ben yomo, right? Because davar harif has the ability to pull out eina ben yomo. So then in such a case, does the dip now become fleshiks that you can't use it with milchiks? So we have a few ways of approaching Shaila. First of all, could be maybe there is some level of hamachmir tavo alav bracha. But at the end of the day, we could be mitzarif two things. First of all, we have the taz and the shach. That's number one. That the taz and shach say that if you have a davar chometz, it doesn't pull out from a kli. That's number one. Number two is that we saw that the Aruch HaShulchan and the Tzitz Eliezer and the Chochma Sadam were making on those things that are not chazak. So our dips today, I guess it would depend. I mean, in other words, jalapeno or something like that, or for me, as a bland American, by the last time in one of the shiurim I said Protestant, I meant to say Puritan. But as a Puritan like me, so I mean, these things, these dvarim charifim are very, very charif. So I don't know, and it could be it's dependent on culture, etc., etc. Baruch Hashem at the bris, I noticed there were some real, real dvarim charifim. So in such a case, it might, you know, it you have srichim ladun, that there maybe there could be that there are some dips that fall into that category, and then it's going to be talui in the machlokis between the Magen Avram and the shach if we one would be machmir. So how are we machriya on that machlokis? So the Prima Gadim has good mekilim over here, both the taz and the shach as being mekilim. But on the other hand, the Magen Avram in Aruch Chayim, the Mishnah Berurah is constantly deferring to the Magen Avram. Basically, our analysis that we said that we want to do statistical analysis of the deference that the Chachmas Adam has to the Shach, the same thing you have is the Mishnah Berurah to the Magen Avram. We have fascinating statistical study, this I pointed out in the Brachos Shir quite a few times. We have fascinating statistical study how many times the Mishnah Berurah, the Chavetz Chaim, is machriya against the Magen Avram. Now, when I say against, I mean lekula, that he was choshish for the more stringent opinions, but how many times it would be a fascinating statistical study. Anyhow, nachzor lin yanenu, so how is one machriya? So in the back of your booklet, I photocopied for you the Rav Pfeiffer. Rav Pfeiffer does Kedarko B'Kodesh, does just a fantastic job of summarizing all the halachos. I encourage you to go through it. You really, you read him and you get fantastic clarity, both in terms of Lemaisa, in regards to Kavush, as well as Davar Charif. On page Nun Tes, he has the Chumrah of Davar, after he has the Chumrah of Davar Charif on Nun Ches, he says, V'chol zeh le'inyin oklin sh'nichbishu b'davar Charif. That if you have food that was soaking in a davar charif, ach legabe akelim adin shonen, de laharbe poskim, ein koch b'davar charif lahaflit es hatama balua b'kli. It doesn't pull it out. Elim kein shobach hafdalet shos. So you would still have a problem 24 hours. Now, so let's stop right there, Rabosai. A lot of times, you know, your Shabbos afternoon, you're a little bit tired. So instead of putting the dip back into the plastic case that you bought from the shul, from the store, excuse me, what you do is you just put it back in the fridge in the fleshik dish. And often, it only is Sunday night when you start putting it back. So then in such a case, it's going to be kavush for 24 hours. If it's kavush for 24 hours, then in such a case, you're going to be stuck. So then it will become fleshiks, even if you're lenient based on the above positions. And according to their shita, you could be more mekel. So how do we paskin? So he has a beautiful pshar over here. He says that if the chash is an iser drabanan, then in such a case you could be mekel. Another, you could be mekel and say that we don't even jalapeno is not going to pull it out until 24 hours. But if the shaila is a doraisa, so then in such a case, he's going to be machmer. So what is doraisa derabanan? So it's in practically. So it seemed to me that basar b'chalav would be a derabanan, dehainu. That if we're talking about that you want to know whether you could use this dip that was sitting in this dish for 10 hours, so then in such a case, to dip in cheese, then in such a case it would be mekel. We could be mekel. Cooking it with cheese, then that would be a problem. But otherwise, it would seem to me that, according to Rav Pfeiffer's pshara, which it seems to be a very beautiful pshara, that will make a lot of sense. Rav Pfeiffer on page Nunches, in terms of the machlokas that I had said to you, whether the amount, what's the amount of time that it takes to cook something on the fire, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, or 18 minutes. So Rav Pfeiffer says that he thinks it's either 10 minutes or 18 minutes, and he rejects out of hand from the Yad Yehuda the stringent opinion that says six minutes in footnote number 3. Interestingly, the Talmidim told me last time we were learning this, Rav Schechter was here for a visit, and they asked Rav Schechter, and he said that the Darchei Tshuva tested it out, and it's 6 minutes. So it's interesting. Comes out of Machlokas between the Darchei Tshuva and the Yad Yehuda, whether it's as early as 6 minutes. And I thought also one could be mechalik, and Rav Pfeiffer says this, that one could be mechalik between Isser D'Oraisa and Isser D'Rabbanan. If we're talking with D'Oraisa, Rav Pfeiffer's machmer for 10 minutes, certainly Rav Shechter would be machmer for 6 minutes in such a case. So the Chol HaPachos, it would seem that we should follow Rav Shechter's chshash, at least when it comes to Yisurei D'Oraisa, for 6 minutes, but the Rabbanan, maybe there's more room to be mekel. Yes?
So if Quran has a lot of vinegar in it,
right?
So if you use a meaty spoon in that, then you would have a problem, or you would?
It depends on whether the spoon is sitting inside of the Quran. If the meaty spoon is sitting inside of the Quran, so then in such a case, Quran, I think, is a classic Dover Harifin, even itself, even without the vinegar. So it would seem to me that if it's sitting there for 18 minutes, that you would have to treat the chrein as the min of the spoon. Correct? Correct, that's what it would seem.
Would it be liquidy enough to be kamish?
Often it is, but it's a good point. In other words, what Natanel's pointing out is if it's dry, then we saw that in such a case it's not considered, it wouldn't be considered kavush. That's an excellent point. So it would depend on how thick it, how much liquid there is. Now, with the mayonnaise, there's no liquid, so we would make a lot of mayonnaise from our rabbein. But when it comes to, from the svarim, I forgot to ask Renem and Sal about that. But when it comes to chrein, often the base of the chrein has quite a bit of a liquid as well. So it would depend on the metzias. But he's making a good point that if there's no liquid, then in such a case, one could be mekel. Yeah?
That's even in the case of non-ben yomo spoon?
No. I was assuming it was a ben yomo. If it's an eina ben yomo, davar charif lechatchila, we're also machmir. I think in a bidyevit case, you could be mekel. That's, I told one of the chevra in the Beis Medrash that if you want to capture a leniency of mine, I think there's a lot of room to be mekel in many cases of eina ben yomo by a davar charif. Not for sure, not lechatchila. We had the Mishkanas Yaakov. We had many other shitas that were mekel. So in cases of bidyevit, certainly in case of hefsid and so on, I think that there's a lot of room to be mekel. But yes, you're right. Lechatchila, one would have to be machmir. Yeah.
I have to pronounce all with the case of chrein that it's mutter. Use a dairy spoon to eat with meat.
Did he explain why?
He says the shach. It doesn't draw out.
Oh, it doesn't draw that he was machria like the shach lekula. So very good, thank you. So that's more lenient than Rav Pfeiffer. In other words, Rav Nevinsal was machria like the shach, and that's more lenient like Rav Pfeiffer. And that is no. Okay, yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's very helpful. Yes.
Does it tie into the Evan Hoser about?
I was wondering. I was only wondering it now as I started talking it out. So the Maral says that when you're speaking, you're not thinking. So I was wondering about that. I'm not sure. L'chura one. All right, we'll pick up with that in the Beis Medrash. Maybe in Yavin, Lechura, one could argue it's totally in the Evin Ha'ozeh. But I didn't think about it enough to be able to answer the question. One last part that it cannot be that you learned in the Gris Kolel and someone's going to ask you about in Hilchos Taruvos about Dover Shadarko Limnos, Kol Shadarko Limnos, and Es Shadarko Limnos, and you not know what he's referring to. So I just need to make sure that we finish the last basics. And Simin Kuf Yud, just to wrap up, there is a machlokis in the Mishnah in Arlov. We've learned many, many things about Dvarim Chashuvim that are not Bato, starting from Simin Kuf all the way through Kuf Gimel. So there's one more example that only comes up in the end of Hilchos Taruvos, and that is another type of Dover Chashuv. And that's in the Mishnah in Arla, there's a discussion about those things that are normally counted and not weighed, then they obviously have a Chashivas. So there is a machlokis, and those things are not Bato. So that comes up with fruits all the time. That's why we're talking about it in Maseches Arla. So if you have a fruit that's normally counted and not weighed, so in such a case, it's not going to be batel. There's a machlekes in the Mishnah called Kol Shadarko Limnos or Es Shadarko Limnos. Kol Shadarko Limnos means a fruit that is always counted and never weighed. So if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Aleph, Dover Choshuv, Oser Bemina Bechol Shehu, Veheim Shiva Dvarim, Veiluheim, Egoze Perech, Rimone Badon. So these were Chashuva pomegranates, also barrels, right? They didn't sell barrels based on weight, barrels of wine. They would be sold based on amount. And Kol Shadarko Limnos. So therefore, Kol Shadarko Limnos is not going to be batel. So keep in mind, after you know all of Hilchos Taruvos, when doing a Chesh in Hilchos Taruvos, keep in mind this phenomenon. That's the opinion of the Mechaber. However, the Ramah is machmir, according to the other opinion in the Mishnah in Arla. The other opinion says, es shadarko limnos, that which sometimes, not kol that's always, but sometimes counted, says the Ramah, v'yesham, kol davar shebeminyan, dahinu shadarko limnos, tamid eina bato, v'chein noagim. So we have this machlokis of kol shadarko and es shadarko limnos. Okay, so that's the Mechaber and the Ramah, in Simin Kuf Yud Sif Aleph. In terms of a practical example of that, I was always trying to rack my mind to be able to give a good practical example of it. So the Piskei Tshuvas has a nice example. He says that Darko Limnos Tamid is not going to be batal. That is Esha Darko Limnos. So he says those things that are always sold as in number. So he gives an example of that. He says, bottles of wine, Bishar Mashkim, that would be an example of Es Shadarko Limnos, and therefore the halacha is that halacha is that's not going to be batel. I'm sorry, I might not have been clear. Kol Shadarko Limnos means at times it is sold that way. Es Shadarko Limnos means that it is always done that way. Okay? I misspoke before.
The same or the opposite?
So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is called Shadarko Limnos. I mean, sometimes, I misspoke when I said the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah is, Es Shadarko Limnos is that something that is, Es Shadarko Limnos, that's always sold that way. Dover Shemin, Shadarko Limnos Tamid, the Ramah said. Darko Limnos Tamid.
Does the Kula Tikula in the Ramah?
Right, correct. The Ramah is a leniency and the Mechaber is a Chumrah. Correct. So bakbuke yayin are going to be those things that are always, bakbuke yayin are always sold, so as and therefore they're not going to be bottled. So if you have those things that are always sold that way, that are always counted, so then in such a case it's not going to be bottled. As Eitan pointed out correctly, the Mechaber is more lean, is more stringent, and the Ramah is more lenient. It has to be something that's always sold that way. So therefore, bottles of wine, which are never sold by weight, are going to be bottled. Thanks for stopping me. Yeah?
Just by fruit, nowadays, isn't weighing more precise?
Ein hachanami, and I think by fruits it would not apply. In other words, fruits would be the example, maybe the Mechaber would be machmir. In other words, there were some, like pomegranates, there were pomegranates that were chashuv, that sometimes they were sold by weight, sometimes they were sold by number. So the Mechaber says you have to be machmir. The Ramah says that if it's dark, only those things are dark olim nos tamid, and therefore it is true that every once in a while you will have fruits that are sold by number, but most fruits are sold by weight. I don't know if the halacha would really change per se today. Just a question of what's the derech.
Isn't it's more? Wouldn't it be more machmer if it's weighed? Think?
No, because the whole idea is that once you count it separately, then it shows that each item has a particular chashivas. It shows us that each item has a particular chashivas. Yes.
It's something like eggs.
Yeah.
Or bagels. There's like a baker's dozen or something like that.
Right. So I think when we say baker's dozen, we mean 12. I think all bagels are sold.
13.
13? Oh, so baker's dozen means 13?
Yeah.
But it always means 13?
Yeah.
Okay. But so in general, bagels are sold as a number. So it seemed to me that bagels, even according to the Ramah, one would have to be machmir. Even according to Ramah, you would have to be machmir. Okay. So that's B'siyata Dishmaya, Tom V'Nishlam, Hilchos Karuvas. Okay.